I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So apparently, after game six of the Western Conference semifinals, there were words in the Rockets' locker room, words throughout the latter portion of the game, between the Rockets' two best players, their two most important players, James Harden and Chris Paul. We know that James Harden is a big reason why Chris Paul chose to come here a couple of years ago. We also know that Chris Paul appears to be getting closer to the back end of his career. James Harden is at the peak of his powers right now. Another MVP caliber season from James Harden. But Shams Charania of The Athletic, who's used to cover the NBA for Yahoo, does a great job. I mean, he's a Woj protege, so he's pretty good at getting the inside scoop. He did sort of a post-mortem on the Rockets season on The Athletic. And the money excerpt from this article is as follows. But Harden and Paul, this is a direct quote from the article, but Harden and Paul had tense moments with one another throughout Game 6, culminating in a verbal back-and-forth postgame that went into the locker room. Sources with knowledge of the situation told The Athletic. Sources said the verbal exchange between Harden and Paul was regarding the ball distribution throughout Game 6. By the time the remainder of the locker room was ready to talk, Paul and Harden had gone their separate ways. Paul swiftly made his way to the postgame podium. The Rockets dispensed with exit interviews this year, so the media hasn't been able to ask Paul or Harden about the disappointment. Obviously, emotions run high after a season-ending loss, and this can be common among teams. What was your first reaction when you heard this bit of news, Rich?
Well, we've heard rumblings that James Harden and Chris Paul are not like blood brothers. You know, they coexist. They don't dislike each other, but they're not particularly close. One of the first things I thought of was that, and I think Shams makes the point in this article, you know, it's easy to start blaming different things as to why we didn't get where we wanted to go this season. Sometimes you just have to look, even without Durant, at the fact that you're up against pretty much Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls. You're up against an all-time great team, and it's not easy to knock them off. You know, they're probably going to win another championship, and I hesitate to say that it's a particular player. It's a coach's philosophy. It's a style of play. That's definitely to blame for the Rockets not achieving their goals when the Warriors are just so damn good.
Well, I think the style of play thing and Chris and James not getting along are almost like they're two separate things in my mind, and here's why. And I get that the reason why there was this alleged spat was because of ball distribution. Style of play is a big picture thing that the Rockets do need to look at this offseason. That's bigger than just James Harden or Chris Paul. Do they need to go with a style or at least have a club in their bag that is not iso ball in the postseason that could be something much easier to defend?
Right.
This Harden and Paul thing, Rich, to me, I don't even know how big a news story it is because I feel like this is something that happens in sports probably quite a bit after a disappointing loss.
That's definitely part of what I felt when I read this.
I liked that they're having some constructive conflict.
I don't think it's that big a deal, but the point you make is a good one because anyone who remembers Steve Nash winning those two MVP awards in Phoenix under Mike D'Antoni remembers that the way Phoenix ran their offense was a lot different than how the Rockets run their offense. So to say that this is how D'Antoni does it is not really true. In Phoenix, it was that, you know, there that whole cliche about wanting to get a shot up within the first 6 or 7 seconds.
Yeah, 7 seconds or less.
Yeah. I mean, they were fast-paced. They ran a lot. And there was a lot of ball movement. The Rockets don't run much at all. They're not fast-paced. And there's not a lot of ball movement. It's almost the polar opposite of what he was doing in Phoenix. So it's not like he hasn't coached that style and had success with that style before. But he's also never had a James Harden.
Right.
I mean, Steve Nash was a great player, won two MVPs.
Yeah.
But Harden, I mean, they're both going to be in the Hall of Fame. But I almost feel like Harden has...
They're both meaning Harden and Paul? Is that what you're talking
Harden
about?
Harden and Nash.
Oh, Harden and Nash. I got you.
Okay. Paul also is going to be in the Hall
right,
of Fame.
Sure.
But, you know, it feels like Harden has almost changed the game in recent years.
Yeah.
Honestly, last night watching Kawhi Leonard operate,
yeah,
nobody's complaining about traveling on step-back threes that Kawhi Leonard is taking, and it's the exact same move
right.
that drew that criticism about James Harden.
Or that he's ISOing up at the top of the key and taking guys off the dribble
right.
and
Harden is
you know, shooting the mid-range.
Not that Steve Nash wasn't an all-time great, but Harden is such a transcendent talent. It feels like D'Antoni has said, look, I've got this weapon unlike any weapon I've had before, and I think this is the best way to maximize everything he does and win as much as possible. But you're right. I mean, I think they should at least have a discussion about a possible tweak to that belief.
Well, here's the thing, Rich, is that Tillman Fertitta was espousing what right after Game 6? Change. We talked about his book that he's got coming out in September. There's right. a whole chapter on change, change, change.
Shut up and listen
and
is the
I,
name
I
of
think,
the book.
I think that is right. But I think, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is successful business people, which Tillman is, when their organization is not functioning at the highest level possible that they want to,
yeah.
they're not going to do things the exact same way. The problem with running a business that is an NBA basketball team is that you're not beholden to a traditional profit and loss statement. You're beholden to the salary cap. So if you're looking at changes with the Rockets, and they made another one on the coaching staff today, Roy Rogers won't be back. So those are little tweaks. Like Jeff Bezdelic leaves and Roy Rogers leaves. I don't all of a sudden go, you know, my view on what their win total is going to be next year doesn't swing five wins either way.
No, if they move a core player, that'll get my attention.
And I don't think they can, because I don't think people are going to come chasing Chris Paul's contract. I don't think they're going to trade Clint Capella.
I don't either.
I think Tillman said, I like my starting five. They're going to go find some guys that are role players that, you know, that'll be Daryl's task this offseason, like it's been pretty much each of the past few off seasons, to find guys that are less expensive, fit what they like to do, all that. So the only thing that you can really materially change might be the way that you go about actually playing basketball and having different things available to you to combat Golden State. Look, if they play more free-flowing basketball, maybe more traditional D'Antoni basketball, does that mean they're going to beat Golden State? No, probably not. They'd still be an underdog, even if they'd shown some of those things in the regular season. But this is really the offseason where the rubber is meeting the road for the Rockets, not just with respect to the first time that Tillman Fertitta, I think, is really taking a look at this team since he bought it, going, okay, what do we really need to do? Because last year you could justify them bringing back the entire crew and feeling good about what they looked like going into 2018 and 2019, because they won 65 games and Chris Paul busted a hammy and they lost in the Western Conference Finals. But I think the rubber's also meeting the road, if we're to believe some of the things that Shams has in here, that they're looking at different ways they can just go about things on a nightly basis, especially once you get into the postseason.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a difficult transition, only because, I mean, James Harden is a nuclear weapon with the things that he does out there. Like,
he
go away from that, in theory, you're voluntarily going away from the best thing that you do.
I agree with that. I also think that at the root of it, Harden's a team player. I don't consider Harden a selfish player.
I don't either.
A player who is going to draw a line in the sand and say, this is how we're doing it. This is who I am. I have this power, and we're going to take advantage of it. The sentence, or maybe it's two sentences, that got my attention as much as anything in this piece is where Sharanya writes, there was something of a clash of styles brewing throughout the Rockets season, with members of the team, most notably Paul, having spirited discussions with Mike D'Antoni about the offense and pushing for more movement. That type of fast-paced, ball-moving offense is what D'Antoni thrived with in Phoenix. I think if they sit down and have a conversation with James Harden about that, I don't think he's going to say, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, no, not if at the end of the day Harden believes that they can win a title doing that. I think James will do whatever it takes to win a championship.
I do too.
I think James is – I know he talks about how important the MVP is to him and things like that, but he's never said the MVP is more important than winning a title.
Right.
The MVP is important to guys who are in the contention for the MVP. It's a sign of respect. It's a lot of what your legacy gets measured on in the NBA, right or wrong. But I don't think James is a guy who puts his own game ahead of the greater good of the franchise at all.
Well, and let's face it, what the Rockets can say if they're looking to talk James Harden into something like this is, James, look, it's not working the way we're doing it.
Not to beat Golden State, it's not.
Right. It's just not. We're having limited success. We're not achieving our ultimate goal. And, of course, that's the championship. But before you get to that, you got to take out the Warriors. So it almost feels like the Warriors are the primary goal. And they've not reached that goal yet. And, you know, as Tillman said, it was some of the first words out of his mouth, as you just mentioned, Sean. Things will change. And it's going to be really interesting to see exactly how that translates.
I think the question becomes, do they have the personnel to do what it is they're talking about here? You know, do they have the right pieces? Harden and Paul are – Harden's a great player. Paul has nights where he's still a great player. Capella's a fairly limited guy offensively. He's a pick-and-roll, alley-oop, around-the-rim guy. And you know, Gordon's a bit of a streak shooter, and P.J. Tucker's a corner three guy. You know, if they're gonna change or at least add to what they do offensively, I'll be interested to see who they choose to be players 6, 7, 8, and 9 on this roster.
Yeah, you know, I mean, let's face it, there are intangible benefits of what we're talking about here. If there's greater ball movement, that increases the chances of other guys getting involved, and that increases the chances of other guys getting in the kind of flow with that touches might bring about.
Yeah.
Running is also, you know, a fast-paced offense is a great way to get more guys involved and get a flow going in this offense. Look, I know that Clint is the best example of people who just hate that ISO offense. He talks about it all the time. He respects Harden but does not like the way they play basketball. Think if you're a team – think of what you would be thinking if you were a teammate out there on the floor as well. I mean, you know, last year they won 65 games. This year, after the All-Star break, they were one of the better teams. So, obviously, it's worked to a certain extent. But I'm just putting myself out on that floor and thinking to myself, if possession after possession after possession is James with the ball in his hands, creating either for himself or somebody else, and almost no ball movement or running up and down the floor, I don't know if fun's the right word, but engagement is a word that comes to mind.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously, for all the guys that are out on the floor with James, it's the biggest adjustment for Chris Paul, right? Because he's
a
guy who's had the ball in his hands his entire career.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.